Welcome everyone to the Township's Daily News Bits. I'm Holly Bailey here on 99.1, bringing you news and events that matter to townshippers. This is through the Local Journalism Initiative funded by the Government of Canada. In this episode, we are talking about suicide prevention. Not an easy, light subject to broach. And that's why we're opening up the conversation here on 99.1. There's a free workshop offered this week on February 4th on Zoom via the Mental Health Estrie organization. It's a non-for-profit located in Lennoxville, and they offer all kinds of services to English speakers of the Estrie region. It is a service that we should be aware of before you need it. And this is one such subject where a little bit of a heads up can go a long ways. So this suicide prevention workshop is free of charge. It is offered by a professional, namely Risha Dave. We sat down with her to just break down a little bit what people can expect and why it's open and suggested for everyone and anyone to take part and learn a little bit about suicide prevention. Let's hear from Risha, the expert herself.
You have such a lovely smile and energy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Risha Dave, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's so nice to be here.
Wow. And this is in conjunction with an upcoming workshop that is offered through Mental Health Estrie. And I don't know if you're privy to the Quebec scene a little bit, but it's not easy to get services in English such as this. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually went to university at Bishop's.
Oh, wow.
So in Lennoxville, yeah. And I did a lot of work with Mental Health Estrie as like an intern. And so I do know, I'm very aware that it's really difficult to find services in English and that that's been a huge barrier for the community.
Absolutely. And to be able to speak in your mother tongue of things that are sensitive. And I saw you've got a practice, Mango Grove. What a great name and a cool team out in Ontario.
Yes, absolutely.
And a component of that was cultural sensitivity,
yes,
which I thought could definitely play into our scenario here in Quebec.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's exactly why I started this practice. I noticed for myself as a Indo-Canadian woman that it was actually really hard for me to get the help that I wanted and the support that I needed because there was a cultural aspect that was really missing. And so that's kind of why I started my practice in the first place. And it has really like translated into so many different things. And it really helps to know there's like one thing to be culturally sensitive and another thing to really understand and like have that lived experience. So mm-hmm. I think that's where like a big difference is.
Okay. Can you take us a step back? Like what is your training? What's your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to Bishop's for psychology. So it's really been my like dream since the get-go to be a psychotherapist and have a practice. And so I have a master's in counseling psychology, and I have been in doing therapy for the last 5 years. And so it's been really interesting to be doing my practicum during the pandemic when things were really shifting for mental
right.
health. And so it was really, really interesting to be in that space. And so I've been doing a lot of community work as well. I've worked in the community organizations, and I really saw the need to for psychotherapy, right? Because there are a lot of barriers that people face. And so it's really cool to have like an organization like Mental Health Estrie that exists, because there is a bit of that bridge to care. And like that, a protective factor. And I think a big piece here is community as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for someone who lives in a rural area, even if you're in a city like Magog or Sherbrooke, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily feel comfortable driving to Montreal or elsewhere to receive this service.
Yeah.
So this is awesome. So this is an online workshop you're offering mm-hmm. on February 4th, and it's on suicide prevention.
That's right.
Wow, like where are we at? Like what are the current trends? If you could give like an idea of context, like in Canada, is it on the rise? Is it where are we at?
So I wouldn't necessarily say it's on the rise necessarily, but there is a really big number of folks who are struggling with mental illness, with their mental health. And the thing is with suicide and talking about suicide is that there is a lot of shame involved, and a lot of like privacy, right? That comes with that, and stigma that comes with that. So just because the percentages are showing, let's say, like 50% of people have experienced suicide ideation once in their life, it actually might be more because people are not coming out and saying that they've experienced this. And there's a lot of fear, right? A lot of fear of judgment from their community, a lot of fear of having to manage other people's emotions as well when it comes to saying, like, I'm struggling, and then having to manage your loved one's experiences or emotions about you struggling. So there's that as well. And so it's not necessarily like I statistics matter in for different reasons, right? In terms of like funding and things like that. But I feel like the statistics are not even accurate because a lot of people just don't actually share what they're experiencing.
It's so private, and you, I think, hit the nail on a key part of it, the shame feeling. And like, how could I feel this way when I've got all this going for me, or I have so many loved ones in my life? And but you never know when something like that could hit, or mental challenges. How could we see, like, I believe you'll be speaking about common warning signs, like that you could pick up on, or the subtleties or shifts.
We'll be talking a lot about and this webinar, I want to just clarify, is not just for professionals or clinicians or people who work in the mental health field. I really want to make sure that this is being targeted to everybody in the community because, as I've mentioned, this is a community, like community care can make such a big difference. And I think it isn't just one person's job to look after someone. It's all of our job to look after each other. And so when we talk about warning signs and we talk about connection, like that's what a big piece of the webinar here. And so yeah, I could talk about warning signs, and that might look like subtle changes in someone's behavior. Maybe they're isolating more. Maybe you're noticing they're not answering their messages as much. Maybe they're not coming out to hang out as much. There could be so many different things, right? It could be substance use as well. It could be changes in diet. It can be changes in sleep. So there's so many different varieties of like the shifts that can happen. And that's not to say that anybody who's experiencing a shift in their diet or their hunger or their sort of sleep, for example, or that are isolating, doesn't necessarily mean they're struggling with suicide ideation, but it can be a sign, right? And what we really want to do when we talk about suicide prevention is get in there before we're at a crisis.
Before it's dire, like
Exactly.
serious.
Exactly. And that's where community comes into play because by taking care of each other, we can actually, that's creating a huge protective factor for people.
That was going to be one of my questions, the power of community and prevention. And when you say community care, I think that's huge because people see different parts of your personality as you wear different cloaks in your life. So you expose yourself differently with different people, I would think, or from my experience. So people might pick it up, a teacher or your minister or a friend or someone you wait at the bus stop with.
Absolutely. And we know that people are not going to professionals right away about suicide ideation. They're actually going to their friends. They're going to their loved ones. They're going to their community. And it might not sound like, it might not be very direct as to what they're saying, but by saying, I'm feeling like really down lately, or like, I this like really hard thing happened in my life, and like things have been changing for me, and I'm noticing like a shift in my mood. It could be really subtle things like that are coming up, and these are the conversations that we're having with each other before professional help is even involved.
And you mentioned something as well, like when you speak to your loved ones, they don't necessarily have the professional muscle to hold space or to not be engaged emotionally, because it's difficult to hear someone you adore speak of such hurt. That's not easy. You need to be professionally trained.
Yeah, and so that's where I think there's a way to bridge that gap for sure. But I also think people can be equipped and can have some tools to then have these conversations, have the difficult conversations with their loved ones to then get them the appropriate care or help them find the appropriate care. And a lot of folks, because it's so uncomfortable, right, to talk about something like this, to talk about something so deep and personal, and yeah, it does carry a lot of pain. But I often tell people, and when I work with suicide ideation, and whether it's active or passive, I often say that it's not about wanting to die, it's about wanting the pain to stop. Yeah. A lot of folks, it's not about wanting to die. It's really just needing a break from the current pain that they're experiencing. That the pain is so intense that they just need it to stop and they don't know how else to get there.
When you're so, your filter's so clouded, you don't have the clarity to see an exit or how could this shift? Oh boy. That's hard to think of people living with that. And not everyone has the support. So something like this, even if it's just open conversation, say you have a teenager and you see changes in them, which are going to happen naturally, but you're like, okay, let's see if we're on the right track. This could be something cool to attend with a teen or whoever, someone you care about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's Risha Dave, a certified trauma integration therapist, registered psychotherapist, and a Canadian certified counselor who will be leading the suicide prevention workshop on February 4th. More details to come on how you can sign up and why it might be a useful tool to have in your belt if ever there's a need.
I wondered if, like, in our colloquial ways, sometimes we complain and we say, oh, just shoot me, or like things like that. How do you defer between what's casual and what is like, actually, we need to kind of take this very seriously, and this is serious? Yeah. How do you know?
Well, like the figure of speech, first of all, I think we need to kind of stop that culture
Yes.
to begin with so that we know the severity, we can understand the severity. Because I think when we're talking about it with like a figure of speech, we're actually desensitizing ourselves to that saying. And so if someone were to say like, oh, just shoot me, for example, we're not like that, I think should invoke some emotion, right? But we're noticing it's not, and we're kind of just laughing it off. And so I think a shift in culture here could be really helpful, and really just taking it seriously no matter what.
No
Right.
matter
And so
what.
instead of laughing about it, and maybe you're in a group setting and someone says something like that, maybe we can kind of laugh it off or not say anything at that moment, but then address that with that person if you're feeling like that's a conversation that you can have with that person.
Right. Is there something more behind this? Or did you just, choose some
No, that's like a
unfortunate
serious thing to
wording?
say.
Right. I used to say that, oh, I feel brain dead today. And my sister's dealing with a concussion. She's like, please don't say that anymore. And I didn't get the weight of just, a comment like that. But I'm like,
Absolutely.
oh, yeah, I could choose something else to say. Our words hold power. Oh, boy. So, do you see a difference in how signs show up between, say, men and women, or are different groups, age groups, or?
Yeah, and we'll be covering a lot of that in the webinar as well. And so, yeah, there are differences in men and women. There's differences in the demographics as well, and culturally speaking. So a big piece, and you know my work revolves a lot around cultural law. So a big piece here is that like for a lot of folks, they will never talk about this because it's so
It's a
stigmatized.
faux pas. Okay.
It, yeah, absolutely. And so there's so much stigma there that it's a lot of the isolation, a lot of the weight that people are carrying. And we notice that a lot in like masculinity, the toxic masculinity, as we would call it, that there's this expectation, this unset expectation that like men have to be strong, for example. And I'm using that term very generally speaking,
Yeah.
right? And that a lot of the times people are not getting the help that they need, right? And so you might not even notice. Sometimes a warning sign could even be, let's say this person is feeling very, you've been noticing they've been kind of down, and now all of a sudden they're not feeling that way and they're excited about life and you're noticing that they have this like spark in them. That in itself can also be a warning sign, because that could also mean that they have decided that they're going to end their life.
Oh my. I don't think many people look at it in that
Right, because you're
context.
excited to see this person in that light. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh, this person's feeling better. Like it's so good to see them like this. Like this is how I remember them. Like I'm so glad that they're finding joy. But sometimes it is within that, like that feeling that they've already made a decision to die by suicide. Or and so it could be that, but again, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but that is a warning sign to look out for as well.
Very interesting. And we don't talk about this enough. Quite frankly, I guess it's about keeping an open dialogue with friends and children and family and checking in with yourself as well. Like, what if you're having your own morbid thoughts? When do you, like, it's a big deal to make the call. It's a big step because it's admitting I have a problem. Like, it's admitting addiction or admitting, yeah, a malady.
Absolutely. And a big thing that I think a lot of people struggle with, or there's a myth here that like if I ask this person about how they might be feeling, that it's going to plant a seed in their head,
Oh, okay.
right? But it's not, that's not the case. Oftentimes it's kind of like grief. And so I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling of grief that, sometimes people are like, I don't know if I should ask them about the person that passed or their loved one that passed. But as the person who's experiencing grief, that doesn't go away.
Right.
That person, you're thinking about that person all the time. That is always part of like what you're experiencing. And
Right.
so it's very similar to having these big feelings or like of suicide ideation, for example. So by just asking someone, like, how's that going? How are you feeling? It's not going to plant anything in their head. It's actually a way to connect. And again, that's like the piece of community care here. Just check in on one another. And
Yeah.
it's okay to have like some dark thoughts, like we all do. I think it's actually very common. We just don't tell people about it because it might feel shameful. Or there's a worry that they're going to be hospitalized. Or like 911 is gonna be called.
Right, or your kids are taken away, or these
Yes.
huge, big contexts. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But really, by saying, I think I need some help. Like I'm noticing it's becoming a little as like darker. Like the cloud looming over me is much darker now, and I think I just need some help with this.
Right.
Can make such a difference.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's a new friend and a puppy. It doesn't take much sometimes, just a shift, and then it's exponential. But you gotta take the step. Would you have anything to say out there to potential listeners who are thinking maybe this might be something I'd like to take part in this workshop?
Yeah, I think I just want to reiterate the fact that this is not just a workshop for like experts, professionals, clinicians. It's really for the community, and I've built it so that it is digestible for everybody. There is always the option. I think this is great for the webinars, especially. Like you can have your cameras off. If you need a minute, please go take a minute to get a breather. Grab a cup of tea if you need to. Get a stretch in. It's not disturbing anybody else, and you're still able to digest the information and still be able to ground yourself with really heavy information. But my focus again is community care. And
Right.
so if we have the tools to hold these conversations, and I'm not saying it's going to be perfect the first time, it's going to feel uncomfortable, but we can name that.
Anything new does, or anything unknown. So it's like, yeah, show up for yourself. or for your
Yeah.
for someone you love.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it might be for people who are experiencing this too, right? And how maybe they can reach out for help and how they can maybe start those conversations too.
Well, thank you
Yeah.
for breaking some of the misconceptions and the isolation, and thank you for showing up for us all. We really appreciate it.
I'm really excited to be here. It's such an honor.
Well, thank you, Risha. We wish you an awesome workshop and great success continued in your practice.
Thank you so much.
That was Risha Dave, who will soon be leading a suicide prevention workshop on Zoom February 4th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So that's Wednesday, February 4th. It is free of charge, and you can register by emailing outreach@mentalhealthestrie.com or by calling 819-565-3777. It's free of charge. It's on Zoom. We encourage you to find out what resources and services are available to you. And stay tuned. In the next couple weeks, we'll have another feature on Mental Health Estrie, so you can find out about the organization and what they have to offer English speakers of the region. You've been listening to 99.1. I'm Holly Bailey through the Local Journalism Initiative, funded by the Government of Canada. Wishing you really happy and sunny days ahead.